Welcome to the audio edition of In Touch Online for March 2022, with an introduction from the Provincial Grand Master. An old English proverb reminds us that March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb, which reminds me when March starts, it's still officially winter. When the month ends, it's officially spring. From my study window, I can see sheep in the field, lambs gambolling seemingly without a care in the world, birds at the numerous feeding stations while others are gathering nesting material and preparing for new arrivals while the odd squirrel rummages for hidden nuts. A veritable treasure trove carefully stored away during warmer days and now providing a late winter feast. Daffodils are poking their green leaves skywards and the trees are showing signs of budding. Nature provides us with many important lessons, not least that change is the law of life, a subject that I have spoken about on numerous occasions. The pace of change in our lives has reached a point where it seems that every day there is a new discovery, a new idea, a new way of doing things. In Freemasonry, change has always appeared to be at the pace of an ocean tanker, slow and deliberate. In this century, that pace of change has changed, and we must adapt or be left behind. Can there ever be a truer saying than one man's unwanted business as usual is another's prized sacred tradition? Which, I suggest, is one of the reasons why, even when it is as plain as a pikestaff that change is required, there is always a move to resist even the smallest of changes. I often hear brethren claiming almost divine authority for the things they insist must be done in their lodge. If it's not the lodge bylaws, it's the fact that they work in emulation ritual, which they claim justifies their position. Sadly, neither supports their reluctance to change, and in many cases it transpires they are being very selective in their interpretation of the content of both books. Often, protecting and promoting some prized traditions is nothing more than a vainglorious attempt to impose the will of a minority on the lodge. We really do need to protect the purity of our ritual. After all, ritual as performed in our ceremonies is what separates pure and ancient Freemasonry from many other worthy and charitable organisations. Long may that be the case. By the way, I would never advocate poor or even average ceremony as being acceptable in our lodges. The aim must always be to attain excellence, no matter how difficult that may be. Never be content with mediocrity. Make excellence a priority. I'm delighted to announce that Brother Ian Lever and Brother Alan Coleman have accepted the office of Provincial Senior and Junior Warden respectively. I'm absolutely sure that Ian and Alan will continue the fine tradition of being exemplary wardens, and I'm looking forward to investing them at Provincial Grand Lodge in October 2022. We are very fortunate to have a number of brethren who are skilled practitioners in training the mind. This edition of In Touch Online has an article from Brother Chris Wall of Clarendon Lodge. Chris writes about methods of learning and offers practical advice on how we can utilise different techniques to help us to deliver our ritual in lodge. I, for one, will be reading every word. I trust you will too. And from the Deputy Provincial Grand Master, I'm sure everyone knows that we have a backlog of over 100 men waiting to be welcomed into Wiltshire Freemasonry. The greater proportion of inquiries are generated through the internet, either by the UGLE National Membership Programme or our very own website. Sadly, there is a reluctance on the part of a few lodges to treat internet candidates with the same care and attention as inquiries generated from their own membership. Such an attitude is not only un-Masonic, it's also counterproductive. Claims such as internet candidates are not serious about Freemasonry, or that they are more likely to drop out of the lodge, are not supported by facts. They are generally the opinions formed by the prejudice of a few seeking to impose their will on the lodge. Recently, I heard that a lodge didn't want any more new members as they had too many, and their entered apprentices would have to wait 10 years or more to become master. To which my answer was, and so what? In my discussions with new Masons, I have never heard a single one suggest that attaining the chair was a motivating force for their membership of the lodge. We are a member organisation. That's a fact that we cannot deny. And as such, we need to welcome new faces to Freemasonry. That's not to suggest that we lower our admission standards, just as we should not reduce the standards in our lodges. Rather, it is to recognise that if the lodge is satisfied that a man is a good candidate and a fit and proper person to be made a Mason, then the cry should be, admit him. After all, what is there to fear? For new Freemasons, there can surely be no greater unsettling experience than finding themselves in an unfamiliar environment where they don't know the design and layout of the lodge room, the placement of the symbols, or the format of ceremonies and meetings. I remember when I made my second visit to my lodge, and it was quite an intimidating experience. I was very fortunate that I received good advice as to where and with whom I should sit, and what part, if any, I would play in the lodge. Thankfully, I was not asked to say or do anything. Instead, I just sat, watched and listened to what was happening. I am glad that we have a great provincial learning and development team and a superb mentoring team who are keen to help new members understand the life of a lodge. Steve Lee and his team have produced three programmes designed to provide support at the critical phases of a Freemason's experience. For the new Freemason, Finding Your Feet is designed to help the new member enjoy his Freemasonry by providing information on Masonic etiquette, lodge protocols, the offices of the lodge, Masonic regalia, and the placement of Provincial and Grand Lodge in the order. The course features short presentations, followed by a visit to the lodge room for an interactive question and answer session, in which the aim is to eliminate any confusion in the minds of new members. The next Finding Your Feet course is in Swindon on Saturday the 19th of March at 10 a.m, and it's intended for entered apprentices and fellow craft Freemasons. You can register online using the link on the visual version of this newsletter on the provincial website. A deacon's workshop, intended for Master Masons, stewards, inner guards and deacons, is also being held in Swindon, this time on Saturday the 26th of March at 10 a.m. Taking office for the first time and moving forward in the lodge progression can at first glance be a daunting prospect. A brother will be leaving the relative anonymity of a seat in the lodge watching proceedings and becoming an active participant of the team of officers. This will inevitably result in a close and sometimes critical observation of his performance by brethren in the lodge. The deacon's workshop is designed to help the brother taking on his first active role or moving forward in the progression. There is particular emphasis on the role of the deacon, and they will receive short presentations and examples of good practice within the lodge room, accompanied by the opportunity to ask questions and practice elements of the deacon's role. In addition, there will be an introduction to tips and technique in learning ritual. This course can also be booked using the link on the visual version of this newsletter. A course on preparing for the chair is being held in Salisbury on Saturday the 2nd of April at 10 a.m, intended for deacons, wardens and masters-elect. This course is designed to prepare a brother for the office of master. It offers practical advice and examples of best practice, and also general guidance on how to prepare for the chair of the lodge, with particular emphasis on what is required of the brother before taking office and what to expect during the installation and festive board. The course also introduces the brother to the duties and responsibilities of the principal officers both inside and outside of the lodge. In addition, it provides guidance, suggestions and examples on how to approach the learning of ritual, etiquette, lodge protocols, the offices of the lodge, Masonic regalia and the place of Provincial and Grand Lodge in the order. So how do we learn? This is an item by Chris Wall of Clarendon Lodge. Following my initiation, I became instantly humbled that my newly made brothers had toiled for many hours in learning and recalling a great deal of ritual to make my initiation the spectacle it was. This year, I will become the junior warden, and in my lodge, tradition dictates that I deliver the charge to the initiate, a piece of ritual consisting of almost 800 words. This led me to think about the method by which I learn, and how I exercise my memory in order to perform at my very best. I read many books, talked to past masters, and read extensively regarding the art of memory. I concluded that the ubiquitous magic bullet does not exist. Success is down to a lot of hard work and the application of some clever techniques. At this point, I want to make clear that for some people the word technique allows them free rein to explore some fantastic psychotheories. I'm not going there. That's for others to develop, as I'm sure they will. We all learn differently. The requirement to remember is not quite as necessary as it once was. After all, your smartphone is your memory, isn't it? This modern age can certainly be considered as a negative towards the art of developing memory. Learning and discovering using a smartphone, the internet and Google are so very different to what past masters in my lodge did, when I'm told in their day they would take their blue book with them when out walking the dog late in the evening. Five things I have found useful and which may help you in your quest in improving your ritual. 1. Repetition. This first step is an arduous one. You need to begin absorbing the words. This can be multimodality, reading, writing or listening, lodge of instruction, etc. You need to get the required information into your brain. This is known as encoding. This is the process of forming new memory. It has to be meaningful, multisensory, and have connections to what we have already learned. In essence, it is not enough to read and repeat the book on your own and expect to chance it at lodge. The brain needs more. 2. Recall. This is the next important part. It performs the donkey work and delivers. New neuronal pathways are made and solidified by spontaneous recall. Without it, it is like expecting a pattern in the sand to remain the next day. You need to be able to recall the lines under spontaneity. This can be done with practice with another Freemason, at LOI, and even using Pigpen Cipher. We know that certain words in the Book of Emulation have a cipher for good reason. Extend it. The recall required to remember words from ciphers and rehearsal strengthens neuronal pathways within our brain differently to just reading ritual. 3. Rest. The second most important element is rest. To truly retain and forge longer-term memories, you need to be undistracted and free of other thoughts after learning ritual. The old adage of learning prior to bed never rings so true. The brain is always looking for ways it can trim and prune unnecessary memory. By reducing thoughts, thinking, and ideas after both repetition and recall enables things to forge in a more lasting fashion. 4. Finding a method that works for you. There are many ways or methods you may wish to use. You may learn in a different method. Some have an eidetic strength, seeing the words. Others may be audio files, and some may need to experience the actual environment they will deliver, such as LOI. There are lots of books out there that talk about different styles, such as the method of loci, which is extremely popular but hard for long prose. It describes a deep method of visualization, imagery, and experience to aid memory, which may appeal to some. 5. Understanding what you're saying. At my last meeting, an entered apprentice asked at the bar what the word approbations means. To be fair, it was a struggle for all of us. However, what it highlighted was that people learn things best when they know what they're learning, and this is key in the craft. As a final message, it's worth investing time in working out your own memory style before you begin traversing through the offices, but also to make use of those older past masters. They are interesting and helpful men. So, what is Rule 144 from the Book of Constitutions? Some rules are quite easy to overlook. Some might say they all are. But Rule 144 is quite interesting in the way it affects the life of the lodge secretary. It starts with a statement of fact. Every lodge shall keep a minute book, and then proceeds to list three conditions relating to the content and treatment of the minutes, etc. 1. The names of all persons initiated, passed, or raised in the lodge, or becoming members thereof, shall be entered. All lodge secretaries know that alongside the names, they must also include age, address, title, and profession or occupation of the brother. 2. The names of all members and all visiting brethren with the name and number of their lodge, together with their Masonic rank, must also be entered in the minute book. Finally, the minute book must contain the minutes of all proceedings of the lodge. 2 points to bear in mind from this rule are that a list, or appendix, which could be a photocopy of the attendance book and fixed in the minute book, is sufficient to satisfy the second rule. In much the same way, The third element of the rule requiring the secretary to read the minutes in open lodge can be avoided as long as an exact copy of the minutes has been sent to each member with the summons to the meeting and submitted for confirmation as a true record of fact. For many, the Book of Constitutions is a dry and dusty tome, while for others it is an interesting, even exciting, read. To understand what we do and why we do what we do is only possible with an understanding of this book. It's why every master is told there is scarcely a case of difficulty can occur in the lodge in which that book will not set you right. Thank you for listening.